Those who wait upon the Lord will not lack any good. What a truth that is, and what a blessing it is for God's people to know that and have confidence in that, that our God is not only a God who has all the resources in heaven and on earth, but those resources are for us as we trust in Him. With that in mind, I ask you to turn to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we will be reading the Lord's Prayer again. In our study of this prayer, we have come through the requests, the petitions that concern God. We've thought about petitions for His glory, for His kingdom, and for His will. And now we come to the petitions which more particularly concern ourselves, prayers for our earthly needs, for our sins, forgiveness for our sins, and our temptations, that God would not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And this morning we're particularly focusing on verse 11, "Give us this day our daily bread," but we'll read the prayer again in its totality. "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Children, I have a question for you as I begin this morning. And that question is, do you ever ask your parents for things that you need? Sometimes you might ask them for things that you don't need, but you ask them for things that you need. I bet you do. You know what? I bet that they even have told you before, if you have need of something, come to us. Tell us. Particularly as you've grown older, some of you, and it becomes more your responsibility to flag up these things for your parents. They want you to come and to express your true needs to them. But, you know, perhaps for others of you, it's simple little things, like perhaps you need a packed lunch for school for the coming day, and you go and you tell your parents, "Well, I need this." We have needs that we express, and you children know what that's like as you go to your parents. But the great and wonderful thing is that all of us here are children of a Father. All of us can find ourselves in that situation where we have needs, but not only that we have needs, but we have one to whom we can go with those needs, to ask that those needs might be taken care of, that they might be met, that they might be solved, and we might have the proper provision for them. And this is exactly what this petition in the Lord's Prayer is talking about. It's commanding us even to go to our Father who is in heaven, the one who has all resources in heaven and on earth, and ask Him for our earthly needs. These words teach us to pray consistently for sufficient earthly provision. These words teach us to pray consistently for sufficient earthly provision. And what I simply want to do this morning is to ask three questions. Why? How? And when? Why, how, and when? Why ought we to pray consistently for sufficient earthly provision? How ought we to pray consistently for sufficient earthly provision? And when ought we to pray consistently for sufficient earthly provision? The why question is simply caught up in the verse itself. We are to pray on a very simple level for these things, because we are commanded to do so. Because it's in this model prayer, because this is how Jesus is telling us that he wants us to pray. And I want you to notice three things from this little petition. Give us this day our daily bread. The first thing is that bread is really a symbol for our earthly needs. Bread is not just saying, give us physical bread daily, but it's pointing to something much greater. This is a model prayer. This is how it works. That little things in this prayer point to categories of prayer, to bigger concepts in our prayer, instructing us on all of our prayer life, really. And bread, in many ways, is a very appropriate symbol to point to all of these earthly needs. It's an earthly need. It's something that is needful for life. And particularly back when Jesus was out on the Galilean countryside speaking to these people. You can imagine that many of these people would live a hand-to-mouth existence. Many of these people might have only had bread to eat that day. Bread was the absolute necessity to sustaining their life. So it was an incredibly powerful symbol of what these earthly needs were. And as I said, it's a genuine need. It's a need that was absolutely necessary for them to go on living. Some of these people would have known very keenly what it was like to go without bread. They would have known what it was like to not have their daily bread, to be hungry, even on the verge of starving. And so having this is a genuine need so that life might be sustained. But it's also widely applicable. It's a need that every one of these people that Jesus was talking to would have had. It's earthly, it's a genuine need, and it's widely applicable. And so for those reasons, it's something that's really appropriate to talk about our earthly needs, this idea of bread. You know, today we might think of it more in terms of money for the weekly shopping. That, I think, is much more connectable, as it were, with us in our day in life today. It's something that we genuinely need, isn't it? I mean, if we're going to be able to have food to sustain our bodies and to have food or money to pay our rent, and that sort of thing, we're going to need these things. It's a genuine need. We're going to need this money. It's something also that affects everyone. Everyone has to eat. Everyone has to pay their bills. And so it's the same. And it's also something that's very earthly, very much practical to our everyday earthly lives. We need that money to go to the shop, to buy food, to pay our bills. There's no getting around that. It's a very practical, very earthly need. And so these are the sorts of things that Jesus is talking about, these very earthly needs. But we also see here that the words daily bread emphasize that we are to ask for sufficient provision. So we've been talking about necessary needs, but it's not really that we have to limit it to the absolute necessities of life. Need is the basic category that we're talking about here, but it's not only necessary needs that we're talking about. And we see this because need is variable depending on things like the time period. So we saw that bread in Jesus' day was something that was absolutely needful. Maybe not so much today. It's dependent on location, where you are in the world, or where you are in the country even. It's dependent on age. It's dependent on position. We have different needs depending on all these different things. Again, children. I wonder, maybe you've thought that you needed your own private car at times, but if you really sat down and thought about it, would you say at this moment in time that you need your own private vehicle? Well, probably not. But do your parents need a vehicle? Of course, they could walk around various places, but they have jobs, they have things that they need to do. Some of your dads have to drive 30 minutes or so to get to work. They have a need there because of their position as your father, because of their jobs. They have that need of a vehicle. But you, because of your position just as a child, who can ride in your parents' car or can walk to school or whatever it might be, you don't have that need. And so needs vary according to our position, our station in life, our age, all these different things. And all of these needs, as long as they are real and genuine, are covered in this prayer. But we also have here something implied from the words "this day." And that is a consistent need to be praying this prayer. Because what is being said here is not only that we should have sufficient provision for this day, but for this day, right in front of us. And that implies, of course, then, that we'll need provision for the next day and the one after that. And that we'll need to continually be asking, consistently be asking for these needs. Again, go back to the picture of bread. You get bread, you eat it, it's gone, and you need more. If you have bread for this day, then you'll eat it, and you will need then bread for the next day. There's an implication here that we will need to ask for this consistently. And it's because our God wants us to be dependent on Him and wants us to know our dependence on. Not that we have to live a hand-to-mouth existence. Of course, Scripture is very much in favor of responsible use of our resources and savings and all these things, but even in the midst of that, we need to recognize that all that we have is from the Lord, and that we consistently ask for this provision. So why ought we to pray consistently for sufficient earthly need? Well, it's because of this verse. It's because bread is a symbol of our earthly needs. It's because daily bread, sufficient for the day, points us to asking for sufficient provision for our needs. And it's because the words "this day" imply this consistent asking, for this provision. But then how? If this is what we are to do, if this is the reason why we are to do it, then how are we to go about that? And I think it begins with a sense of our own unworthiness, of cultivating a sense of our own unworthiness. There's many reasons to feel unworthy when we come before God in prayer. But there's a powerful tendency when we're talking about the needs that we have, almost to come before God as if we have a right to demand these things from Him. And to forget that we are even unworthy to have the necessary provision that He gives us. Think about it for a moment. We are God's creatures. He has made us. He is the one who owns us in that sense. Now David, as he was consecrating the gifts that he was giving towards building the temple, in 1 Chronicles 29:14, he says, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given to you." We're God's creatures. We are owned by Him, and every good gift that we have is actually His. And anything that we give back to Him is just us giving back to Him what He has in the first place given to us. There is no worthiness in us. There is no worthiness in our gifts. It is all first what we receive from God. But more than that, we are naturally in our father Adam. We are naturally the ones who have forfeited all right to all the good gifts that we have. I wonder if you've thought about this. Think about your lunch this afternoon. Do you have a right to that lunch? I think most of us would be quite quick to say, yes, we have a right to that lunch. We've paid for it lawfully. We've gotten it in a lawful way. But in terms of spiritually, we actually, outside of Christ, do not even have a right to that lunch. We have naturally, in Adam, we have forfeited all the good gifts of this life. And it's only by God's grace, his common grace, that we have any good thing. And then for those of us who know Christ, the incredible thing is that actually we get a right back, as it were, to all these good things. Because in Christ we are united to him. In Christ we have a standing before him by his righteousness. By the righteousness of Christ we have a standing before God. And in that, God then can bless us for Christ's sake. And we can truly have a right, again, even to our lunch. But all of this, while it is wonderful, it also should point us to our deep unworthiness, even to the very things that we take for granted, even to the very good blessings that we take for granted, and should work in us a deep sense of God's greatness, of his goodness, and of his love for us. And so, to pray these prayers, we must cultivate this sense of unworthiness, but we also must cultivate a sense of God's goodness to us. He is good to us in Christ, and we can have a tendency to get discouraged as we go to God and ask for good things, even needs that we have, and yet we do not seem to get an answer. And we must, in face of this, cultivate a sense of God's goodness. He has taken care of our greatest need, and that is to be reconciled to God. And in that, he has taken care of all of our other needs. Listen to Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? If God has given us Christ, then that is his heart to us, to love us, to care for us, to do good to us. And he will surely, as a good father, give us all things, both all that is needful in this life and one day all things to be ours. He tells us that he is working all things together for our good if we are those who love and serve him. He tells us in the context of need that he will never leave us or forsake us. This is God's good heart to us. And if we are to pray prayers for our need, then we must not only cultivate a sense of our own unworthiness, but also cultivate a sense of God's goodness towards us. We must also do it by faith. Sometimes those needs that we have loom so large for us that we can be tempted to judge God, as it were, by feeble sense, to wonder where he is and forget that often he hides his smiling face behind a frowning providence. Other times, we're so quick to get so engrossed in the need that we have, in the solution maybe that we're going to address that need with, that we forget to ask God for these things, to go to him, to remember that it is only by his good gifts that we have any good thing. And we need the Spirit to work in us that sense of need, to stir up this in us. It is only by the Spirit that we can pray these prayers. And we must pray these prayers for sufficient earthly provision with and for others. Notice that it says, give us this day our daily bread. This is something that is, in a sense, very personal, our needs. But it's also something that is corporate, also something that is in relationship with other people. It is others' needs as well that we ought to pray for. And we ought to pray with them for their needs. And we ought to pray for these things alongside of doing those lawful things that God has given us to do, jobs and other things. He's given us these as methods to provide for us. So it's not as if we just pray these things and leave off going to work. No, Scripture tells us that these are the ways that God provides for us. But we pray these prayers alongside of using those tools that God has given us. So how do we pray this prayer for sufficient earthly provision? We pray it with a sense of unworthiness. We pray it with a sense of God's goodness. We pray it by faith, hanging on to His promises and His truth. And we pray it alongside of using the tools that God has given us. And we pray it with and for others. And finally, when do we pray these prayers? When do we pray for consistent, sufficient, earthly provision? Well, there are all sorts of times where we could pray for these things, but I simply want to give you two times that I think are very practical. One is before meals. In a sense, we already do this, don't we? We thank God for our food. But my question is, are you using these times? Is it just simply a formula that you go through as something you must do before you eat? Children, how do you look at these times? Do you think of it, oh, well, that's just what we do. We pray before we eat. Or do you realize that these are really opportunities for us to recognize our need and our unworthiness to receive any good gift from God except through Christ? There are times for us to thank and praise God for His goodness for us, that He has answered our prayers and that we do have our daily bread to eat. It is a time for us to delight in our God and to pray this prayer for future provision. But also, pray these prayers when needs arise in your life. We're still in this fallen world, and regularly we have needs, real, genuine, true needs. And this is an opportunity then for us to pray for sufficient earthly provision. It's an opportunity, again, for us to recognize our insufficiency. And there's that tendency for us to get focused on the solution or to worry about it. But we must step back and realize that it is an opportunity for us to go to God, recognizing our need and seeking that He would provide for us, to recognize that every good gift that we have is from His hand. You know, in fact, we often hear, don't we, that God is far away, that He's not a God that makes Himself known. So often people who don't believe say, well, if God would only show Himself to us, then we would believe. But in a sense, every need that you have, every physical earthly need that you have, is God showing you that you need Him. Is reminding you that you have a need for Him, a need for Him who can provide all that is needful for you. God is not a God that's far away. God is a God who wants to know you. And those needs, those real, genuine, difficult, heartache needs that you have in your life, are God pointing you to Him. So why must we pray for sufficient earthly provision? Because God, in this prayer, instructs us to use prayers like, give us this day our daily bread, pointing us this these practical needs we have and to go to him. How? With a sense of our unworthiness, with a sense of God's goodness in faith, using the lawful means and praying with and for others. And when? It is we can use before meals, and we can use those times of need that we have. So let us see God as a good parent that loves to provide for his children. And as children who trust their father, let us go to him for all that we need with confidence, knowing that he can, and that through Christ he will sufficiently provide for our needs. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your great goodness to us in Christ, that we who have no right to anything should be able to ask you even for the most practical of our needs. And we pray that you would provide for us as a church, provide for us as individuals, provide for us as families. Give us those good earthly things which we need and which you have commanded that we should ask you for sufficient provision. O Lord, hear us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.